You don't need to feel like financial wellness is impossible. Acorns gives you small, simple steps to get you and your money on track. What I love about Acorns is knowing I am doing something proactive for my future. And it's not a time suck because basically Acorns does the hard part for you so you can give your money a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Monday. Monday, Monday, Monday. Holy bejesus, Batman, let me tell you something.
Do.
Summer has begun, and I thought I was going to have a break because my son just brought me a Celsius. That's how much I am like, my summer is going crazy. Yeah. I thought I was going to have a break because I'm not driving them all over God's green earth to school and back. However, failed to realize that now I'm driving them all damn day long. Everywhere they want to go. It's way more work.
Yeah.
It's so much work. I have been in the car literally 4 hours today.
Yeah, that's balls.
To the point that my Aura ring, which I just got and I love so much, told me I am a pretty inactive person.
Oh.
I know. I was like, oh, awesome. Great.
Well, you know, I always have these fantasies every summer that I'm going to be like the best mom ever and go on all these adventures and keep my house clean and get all my work done and the kids are going to read every day and we're going to have nutritious meals.
What have you done so far?
Well, I took him to the movies. I took him to this like really cool movie theater in Irvine Spectrum, which is like out of our normal bubble. So I thought like that's a good way to mix it up and it's next door to a Dave & Buster's. That'll be fun. Plus, my husband was out of town and he doesn't like to have fun like that. So we got to kind of do that stuff when he's gone. I took him to see this movie called If with Ryan Reynolds and John Krasinski, both hottie patates. So what could go wrong?
Yeah, I heard it's the best movie ever.
You did?
Yes, my kids saw it and my daughter loved it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, spoiler, it's about imaginary friends and it's like kind of like Sixth Sense.
where Ryan Reynolds is the little girl's imaginary friend. And call me crazy, but it's kind of weird for the 12-year-old to have a 40-year-old man as her imaginary friend. Like, yeah. Is it just because I'm in true crime? I'm like, my mind is going to dark places. I'm okay. Like, don't keep secrets, kids.
Yeah, right.
And why do the parents always have to die?
They died in this one too?
The mom dies.
What the hell?
It's okay. Bad.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about it. So
I don't recommend. Go see Garfield.
Okay, Garfield. My son just saw that with his grandma and he liked it. So who doesn't like Garfield? Come on. It's like bringing back to like when you're a little kid.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be better than If.
Okay, listen, we were talking. Well, we just, you guys, if you are not on our bonus content, this is the time, especially since you need a little break from your children or your spouse or whatever you got going on, even your dog. Okay. Gretchen's doing a 3-part series on OJ.
It might be 4.
Okay. It's a lot. OJ's a lot.
It's like, I did this with Elvis Presley too.
And the other thing is I've got some time in the car. I just listened to some things and I've been listening to a lot of programs that we're going to talk about. One of them is Baby Reindeer. And the other one I just finished was Gretchen's recommendation of Fallen Idols.
Oh, good. I can't wait to talk to you about that.
Yes. Both of those are good talking. So you need to finish Baby Reindeer. Okay. It's freaking, do not watch it with your kids around. Absolutely not. It is far beyond
that.
Yeah. There.
You're going to hate this, Tab. My kids aren't around. And they're not bugging me at all. It takes me 12 minutes to get from my house to camp. Oh, and they are gone from 9 to 4. And I don't even have to get out of the freaking car.
That's amazing. She put them in the same camp. That's where I went wrong. They go to 3 different camps with 3 different drop-offs. There are 3 different pickups in 3 different cities.
I have 1 week that is going to be like that.
Yeah.
But for right now, I can't believe how much stuff I get done. And then I get to pick them up and it's not like they have homework.
Oh, so good.
So it's like, It's not like the work. I mean, you know, I'm not as good of a parent like I told you I wanted to be during summertime.
Yeah, but you're doing pretty good.
But I'm doing all right.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Let me tell you what I did recently. This is not going to surprise you.
What?
You know how if you listen to our bonus content or if you've listened long enough, maybe, you know, I have a tendency to do some shopping in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
We both do. Yeah. I don't know why. That's when I get some of my best and my worst shopping done.
I get multiples. I forget that I buy it and then I buy another time, after I see it on Instagram again.
Yeah. So I opened the mail and I got some supplements. They're beautifully packaged and everything. And we do have some amazing supplement company sponsors. And I thought, I don't remember reading about getting this one, but this must be from a sponsor. Surely it is. Well, I go through all our emails. I cannot find it. So I'm thinking, I guess I really ordered this. And you know what supplement it is?
What?
Sperm. It's called Spermidine.
Like it actually is like whale sperm or something? Or what?
Well, I got like, really scared. I'm like, how tired was I? I don't know. Oh, it's actually just called Spermidine, but it's for like cell regeneration.
It's not sperm, right?
It's not sperm, but that is a strange name for a supplement. Why would you call something sperm if it's not?
Oh my gosh. I think I've heard that term before. So did you order it or what?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
It probably said you were going to like not look old and
I'm like
less
sold.
Wrinkles or something.
Sold. Just like me. And I paid for the, you know, hypno diet. Right. And I did it once.
Right.
And never again.
She paid for a lot more than that and did
That's
it once
true.
And never did it again.
That's
okay.
True.
Okay. We got to get into the case today.
Can't wait.
It's freaking bonkers. Okay.
Okay.
All righty, Gretchy. This one is a doozy and it just keeps going. Okay. We're not. Oh, let me just preface because some people get all their, you know, panties in a wad that the case is not closed.
Okay. It's not closed. Panty not wasters, closed. Bounce now.
Panty droppers.
Feel free panty to download waters. The whole episode though. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm taking you to Canton, Massachusetts. which I have not been, but it is very close to Boston, about 18 miles away, southwest of Boston. They all have the Boston accents. You know that accent?
Yeah, I know that accent. Bostonian. Like, what's that movie where Ben Affleck was hot still?
Oh, you know, he got hot again a little bit when he started dating J-Lo, but he's back to...
All this drama is making him not hot.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so Canton was named Canton over 200 years ago because it was believed that it was exact opposite side of the world from Canton, China, which I don't think it is, but that's what was believed at the time.
Okay.
It's home to a 300-year-old house, which is one of the oldest homes in America, and it is the headquarters to two notable companies, Reebok and my son's favorite, Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, those are notable companies.
They are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with only 24,000 residents, those are two pretty big companies for
right.
like a very small
high
town.
Tops and your mocha latte, mocha something they call it.
Yeah, you know, they also have some like egg white bites there that are pretty good and some bagel thin sandwiches. I'm not hating Dunkin' Donuts. I kind of like it.
Not at all.
The residents there have a medium income of $118,000. And today the home prices are pretty pricey. Like when I was looking, it was over $1 million for a lot. You can get some for less, but not that many. Paul Revere was also an early resident. I'm sure he didn't pay $1 million for his home, but he did build a copper foundry on what they call the Nepomucet River in the early 1800s. The copper was used to protect, which you would appreciate, the hulls of Navy ships from rot and barnacles. A popular restaurant and bar called Waterfall Bar and Grill was established in November 2014 near that copper foundry, because now the copper foundry is just a bunch of high-end condos. You will soon see that the Waterfall Bar and Grill would be possibly a final destination of sorts for John O'Keefe. John, known as J.J. O'Keefe III, was born on December 8, 1975 in Braintree, Norfolk County, Massachusetts. That's where he grew up. He graduated from Braintree High School before attending Northeastern University as an undergraduate. And then he also completed his master's in criminal justice at UMass. Sometimes I wonder if I should go back and get my criminal justice degree.
No, you should just finish our taxes.
That's true. I should for sure do that. I just thought of that today. I will. I'm on it. Don't you worry. Don't you worry.
Okay, you heard it here, people.
We already said we're very good at doing our taxes.
We are very good. We filed those extensions.
I know. And we get it done. So don't you worry. I'm on
it. We do.
Okay. John joined the Boston Police Department around 2006 and served for the city for the next 16 years, starting off as a patrolman and later worked in the sex offender unit, which is really my kind of guy, right? Taking down those sex offenders. I'm in love already. In November 2013, John's sister, Kristen Furbish, tragically died from a brain tumor. And then, Gretchy, just a few months later, an equally tragic event happened. Her husband, Stephen, I'm not sure how you pronounced it, suffered a fatal heart attack, and he passed away also, leaving their two children, 6 and 3, parentless.
Oh my gosh. So his sister and his brother-in-law.
Yes. Both died within 8 months of each other.
That's terrible.
And they had a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, Kaylee and Patrick.
Okay.
Well, Uncle John, which they called Uncle, actually they called him Funkle because he was the fun uncle.
That's cute.
I know, it is cute. He immediately stepped in and took over being these kids' parents. He was, you know, single dude. John was quoted to say that he welcomed the opportunity to raise his beloved niece and nephew and build a home and a life around their needs. John was 6'2", dark hair, blue eyes. I mean, he was pretty handsome. He was also to be said he would give you the shirt off his back. And it was true. John was a total disco ball. On January 28th, 2022, John found out that his niece, Kaylee, by the way, okay, so listen, like, he has had them since 2013. So January 2028 or January 28, 2022, 9 years later. He's had them for a long time, right? So his niece had been accepted into, she was going into high school at this point, and she was accepted into a private Catholic school that seemed to be pretty hard to get into. So John wanted to celebrate. So he grabbed his buddy, Michael Camerano, and they went out to the local bar for some drinks. They went to this place called C.F. McCarthy's. John's girlfriend of 2 years, her name was Karen Reed, which might ring a bell to like 500,000 of you. She was an equity analyst and a finance professor. She joined them a little while later. When she came, she like planted a kiss on John, was very affectionate. And John and her had been dating for a while, like 2 years. And they had actually dated back in 2004 before they reconnected in 2020. When Karen reached out to him on Facebook and said she admired how he was taking care of his niece and nephew, and she thought it was real amazing.
You know, I was thinking when you told me that, I mean, that's a real panty dropper, right?
It really is, right?
It really is. We love kids, so we would be all about it, but it's just so much easier if it's like this kind of situation where you take them on versus like taking them on when the mom is still in the picture and you're like the girlfriend stepping in or the stepmama or something like that.
Right. This is like you have them all to yourself.
This is like you get them and you don't have to get fat.
You'll find out a little bit later that maybe when you don't have your own kids, it's not as attractive when things get tough, like teenager situation type of thing. But
okay.
Anyways, Karen at the time, she did think it was, you know, obviously it was a panty dropper. And Karen really caught John's attention twice because Karen is real attractive. And other than her good looks, she's got a big gas brain. Girlfriend is like a professor in finance and she doesn't come with any baggage, right? She doesn't have an ex-husband, no kids. She's
probably
like,
does her taxes on time.
Oh, she fully like gets her taxes done.
Yeah.
So she's like a whole package in John's eyes.
Yeah.
2 years later, they were deep enough into this relationship that Karen would often stay over at John's house and help him with the kids. But for the last month or so, there had been some tension in their relationship.
Listeners, every year around this time, I resolute I'm going to get grown-up stuff done, like get that colonoscopy over with that my doctor's been bugging me about. Get my affairs in order, like making a will. And why is it that a will seems to be more daunting than the colonoscopy? Well, it doesn't have to, because trust and will makes creating your will easy, like lounging on the couch easy. The website is really simple to use and the process is straightforward. Each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. So for my family, my main concerns are guardians for my children. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, your final arrangements, or power of attorney, Trust and Will has you covered. When maneuvering through the process, if you have any questions that stop you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of five-star reviews from Trustpilot. So check one of your goals off early this year with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/HTC and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/HTC. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. Acorns helps you build your financial future in the background so you can focus on all your holiday shopping and parties. So genius. Another great thing about Acorns is you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or even just your spare change. That's right. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to the dollar automatically and invest your spare change for you. So that coffee you grab on the way to the mall, that's investing. And you get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. With Acorns, every single gift you buy this year could put more money in your investment account. It's like cash back, but the bonus investments have a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. pay client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns Investing. Involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today. So John, Karen, and Michael were at CF McCarthy's, and then they soon move to the Waterfall Bar and Grill to meet up with another group of friends, including John's longtime friend, a girl named Jennifer McCabe. Another Boston cop came also, named Brian Albert, and there was a federal alcohol, tobacco, and firearms officer named Brian Higgins. So that's a lot of Brians, right? We got Brian Albert and Brian Higgins, Jennifer, who is the friend.
Okay.
At some point during the night, at the Waterfall Bar, the two Bryans kind of squared up like they were going to fight. We see this on a video. Okay, so this is how we know that they were going to fight. They say they were just messing around, that they weren't really going to fight. They were just like being stupid dudes.
Yeah, sometimes dudes are stupid.
I think so too. I'm like, I don't really believe that that was actually a fight, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone seemed to be in high spirits. Drinks were flowing. Although there was an argument between John and Karen at some point, Karen actually vented to Jennifer about the fight. She said to Jennifer it was about his niece and nephew. Jennifer told her, "Welcome to parenthood," which isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Around midnight now, January 29th, everybody kind of dispersed, and John got a text from Brian Albert, one of the Bryans that was there that night, to come over to his house for an after party. Brian was married to Jennifer McCabe's sister. So Brian and Jennifer were, I guess, brother and sister-in-law. John texted Jennifer as they left the bar asking where to. Jennifer called to give him Brian's address. And then Karen and John left in Karen's black SUV and headed towards Brian's house. On the way out, John grabbed his cocktail off the table and brought it with him. He brought himself a little roadie.
It's not classy, but I am guilty of doing that.
I know. Who was it? Oh, Liz at Crime Con. She took the glass from one restaurant to the next restaurant in the same hotel, by the way.
Which and is I'm fine, like, I think.
I think it's fine too. I'm like, girl, it's the same hotel. Like,
she was like worried about it. I was like, no, they don't care. I mean, we walk from the bar to the table. It's all the same.
It was fine. But this, taking it out of the restaurant, maybe not the classiest thing, but totally. You know, I think they were pretty hammered at this point. So now this is where we get two versions of events. According to Karen, she dropped John off at Brian's house and watched him walk up to the side door entrance. She waited for about 10 minutes for him to come back out, but then she got pissy because John didn't text her. So she left, making a 3-point turn, and drove to John's house where she passed out. Jennifer, inside the house, could see Karen's SUV outside, but never saw anyone get out of it. She texted John several times throughout the night, but he never answered. Then, the next morning at 5 a.m., Karen noticed that, actually it was like a little bit before 5 a.m., I think, Karen noticed that John wasn't home yet. She had John's niece call Jennifer McCabe to see if Jennifer knew where he was, which to me, like, she woke up the niece to say that he was gone or he was not there. that's sus to me. Why wouldn't you just call Jennifer and be like, hey, is John still like at your brother-in-law's house or your sister's right. house? Like, why would you wake up the niece to do that? Jennifer could hear Karen in the background screaming and told Kaylee to give Karen the phone. Karen told Jennifer that she couldn't remember driving with John to Brian's house that night. Karen asked Jennifer, did I hit him? Could I have hit him? And she's kind of frantic when she's saying this, okay? Then she said that her headlight was cracked. Jennifer told Karen that she remembered that the last time she saw John was outside Brian's house sitting in Karen's car. She didn't say it to Karen, but Jennifer thought she was really talking crazy. Karen then called another friend, Carrie Roberts, who wasn't out that night, but her husband, Kurt, was. Karen told Carrie that John's dead, telling Carrie that she thought John might have been hit by a snowplow. Karen told Carrie that she didn't remember anything from that night before saying, I'm driving. Can I come to your house? Can you drive my car? I don't remember anything from that night. I drank so much. Carrie told Karen that she was going to get a DUI because she had been drinking all night and said, you shouldn't be driving. Carrie was also worried about Kaylee being home alone and her brother, I guess, was gone on a sleepover. So it was only Kaylee there. Despite warning Karen, Karen drove to Jennifer's to pick her up so that they could go look for John. So she and Jennifer and Carrie went driving around looking for John. Carrie noticed that the SUV had a broken taillight. It was pitch black, freezing, and it was a nearly whiteout condition because a snowstorm started happening that morning. So the three women were like scanning the road looking for John as Carrie drove Karen's car. Karen told Carrie to go towards Brian Albert's house where she dropped him off. Karen drove over to the street, but Jennifer and Carrie could see nothing. It was seriously super dark and the visibility was terrible. And then suddenly Karen screamed that she could see John lying near a cluster of trees on the lawn outside of Brian's house. Karen said, there he is, there he is. Let me the F out of this car. And started kicking the door. Carrie looked over, didn't see anything. Carrie looked at Jennifer and told her, dude, she's crazy. Carrie then unlocked the door. Karen got out, ran over to a mound of snow. Jennifer and Carrie got out of the car and realized that the mound of snow was actually a body. She ran over and cleared it, and it was John. John was covered in 3 to 4 inches of snow. He was bleeding from his nose and his mouth, and he had a cut on the back of his head. The cocktail glass that John took from the Waterfall Bar and Grill that night was laying next to his body, broken. There was several drops of blood near him, as well as one of his socks and one of his shoes were missing. John was unresponsive and freezing to the touch. And Karen, she was completely hysterical. For a second, Jennifer, she just froze. And then she and Carrie made eye contact and Jennifer said she snapped out of it and she called 911. In the background of the call, you can hear Karen screaming. She's saying, John, JJ, John. Jennifer called 911 telling them that she needed help because there was a man passed out in the snow. Karen and Carrie attempted to do CPR on John until the first responders arrived. Karen also pulled up her shirt and laid on John trying to warm his body. Karen backed off and said to Jennifer and Carrie, I hit him. I hit him. I hit him. Earlier, she had asked Jennifer, like, could I have hit him? Did I hit him? So to Jennifer, it sounded like Karen was confessing.
Right.
So then Karen grabbed Jennifer's hand and told her to Google hypothermia specifically. How long does it take to die in the cold? Because it was 18 degrees outside. Jennifer pulled her phone up. She misspelled how long to die in cold. She spelled it like hose long.
Because that happens. Some of us have fat fingers.
Dude, and I'm surprised she even got that much out. I would have been a complete mess. Like,
yeah,
I would not be able to even like type anything. When police arrived, it was so dark that they had to use a spotlight to find the women and John's body. Karen had blood on her mouth, I think because she was doing, you know, CPR on him. She hysterically told them that she was responsible for John's death, but didn't say how she was responsible. The EMTs arrived, they loaded John into the ambulance, and then they arrived at the Good Samaritan Medical Center, and his core temperature was 80 degrees, which, by the way, seems kind of warm, but it's not. right? Our body temperature is 98.6, and at 80 degrees, you are in extreme hypothermia.
Okay.
Jennifer ran to Brian Albert's house and burst into her sister and brother-in-law's bedroom. She was, in his words, hysterical. Outside, Karen, also in hysterics, and the first responders were so worried about her that they called for an ambulance for her also. The ER doctor observed that John was in cardiac arrest, had head trauma and complications due to exposure of the cold, and he was pronounced dead at the hospital at 7:50 in the morning. Not long after this, the same ER doctor would treat Karen under a Section 12 order, which is like a mental health concern. After she was released from the hospital, Karen went to her parents' house and stayed with them for 3 days. Meanwhile, the police conducted their investigation into Officer John O'Keefe's death. An autopsy was performed, and the medical examiner determined that John had suffered multiple skull fractures consistent with blunt force trauma. The blunt force trauma led to the bleeding under his brain, and he had 2 swollen black eyes, a bunch of weird cuts and abrasions on his right arm, blood around his nose and mouth, and also hypothermia was like a contributing factor to his death. John was laid to rest on February 7, 2022 with full police honors. And a GoFundMe, thank goodness, was established for his niece and nephew with a really modest goal, but it raised over $336,000, which is still not enough, right? Like, these kids have a lifetime. And can you
Who's going to take care of them now? Yeah.
I mean, it is so tragic for these children. Like, I can't even imagine. I hope they have a lot of therapy because they're going to need it. So continuing with the investigation, detectives learned that Karen and John's relationship had been strained over the last couple months. Besides the brief fight in the bar, they also had a major fight earlier in the month before his death. A little backstory on this part involves John's best friend, a Boston PD officer named Pat Rogers. Pat had a girlfriend named Laura Sullivan. In 2013, Pat tragically took his own life, leaving Laura alone. John, being the disco ball, stayed by Laura's side because she was pregnant with his best friend's baby, you know? When Laura gave birth to his son, to her son, John was there. And John was the baby's godfather, which rightfully so. John was the first person in the delivery room when the baby was born. He stayed really tight with Laura. And for both of them, I think that they were each other's connection to Ben. I mean, to Pat. Everyone in the Sullivan family called John the godfather. So years after the baby was born, the Sullivan family asked John to go on a trip to Aruba with them, which John brought Karen. Okay.
Okay.
Laura has a younger sister named Marietta, who goes by Etta, who was also on the trip. Etta was coming out of the elevator at the resort when she saw John kind of stumble. So she was like, yo, whoa, godfather, are you okay? And walked over and gave John a hug. As they started to walk away, Etta heard somebody screaming from the other side of the lobby, like, who the fuck is that? She turns around and guess who she sees? Karen. John's like, calm down. That's Laura's little sister.
Yeah.
Etta walked over. She said, nice to meet you, to Karen, which is real classy because I think if somebody did that to me, I'd be like, who the fuck are you, bitch? But anyways,
that's not true. Recently, we had something like pretty similar to that happen, and you were real nice. I was like, oh, we need to make friends with that girl.
You're right. You're right. Okay. I wouldn't, but I would think it inside my head.
Yeah.
So she goes, nice to meet you. And then Karen says, go fuck yourself to her.
Oh.
I know. So I'm like, Karen, like, don't be a Karen.
Yeah.
So Etta, finally, she snapped back and she said, yeah, go fuck you too, or something like that, and walked away.
Yeah.
So later, Laura found John and asked if everything was okay. And John said, you know, he didn't know if Etta and Karen had exchanged words, but Laura told him, yeah, they did. And Laura could see Karen's name like flashing on his cell phone screen. I mean, she was just blowing him up. So a couple days later, Laura texted John and asked if he was going on the group outing from the family. And John just wrote back, well, apparently I made out with your sister the other night, according to Karen. So the night before they left Aruba, Karen came up to Laura and finally said, hey, I'm really sorry. I thought I saw something that I didn't. and I would like to pay for some of your sister's room.
And okay.
Laura, which is nice, right?
Yeah. 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 It's good to admit you're wrong.
Yeah. So Laura told her it's absolutely not necessary. And she said, just an apology will do. So I like that.
I like that too.
After returning to Boston, John and Karen had people over to watch the Patriots game at their house. And one of the people that came to the house was Brian Higgins. When Brian got up to leave, Karen offered to walk him out. And when they did, she planted a big old kiss on his lips.
Sloppy.
Not a friendship kiss, like a romantic kiss. Brian wasn't really prepared for that and awkwardly left. So Karen just turned into a Karen again. Karen started texting him after, like, you're hot, she wrote in one text. And he wrote back, like, are you messing with me? She replied, yeah. No, I'm serious. And, well, Brian's a guy. And he wrote back, feeling is mutual. Because, like, Karen is hot. He goes, feelings mutual, is that bad? Their texting continued with conversations that included Karen venting about her relationship with John and how it was hard for her being with John since he had his niece and nephew. She wrote, it's very complicated. He and I dated when we were kids and then his sister died and everything got fucked up. She went on, it's just very, very complicated dynamic with the four of us. He isn't cut out for what he's doing and the kids present constant issues.
Yeah, because they're kids.
Because they're kids, dude. This is why I'm telling you, like, they're not her kids.
Okay, she, you know what else I think is hot? Also, just a guy that has a dog. I never dated one, but I always was the hunt for one, you know?
Oh my gosh, you're so funny.
It's kind of the same concept. Like, just, you just want a guy that will take care of something.
That's true. That's true. Maybe a dog with a cat's even better. Or a guy
pretty good boyfriend I had plants.
Oh my God, no. That's
I mean, it was a sign of some responsibility.
So she wrote, things are far from perfect, which she was meaning John and her relationship. Brian asked if she and John were going to stay together or break up, and Karen told him she didn't know. Brian wrote her that in regards to John's kids, he believes he's doing the right thing. And Karen wrote back, well, of course he is, but his heart isn't in it. It's only because he was very close to his sister, which is kind of bitchy to say.
That is a bitchy to say.
And then she says, they're very spoiled. And it's like, girl.
Really? Yeah, no.
Yeah. This is where I'm like.
That sounds like, you sound like a jelly bean.
Totally.
Okay?
Totally.
Of some children who lost their parents. It's not cute.
Yes. She kept talking about them, saying, they're not my family. My parents keep telling me I'd feel different if they were mine or my own sisters.
Maybe not. Maybe you're just a cold-hearted bitch.
And maybe she is. I don't know. Anyway, she said, you know, like, they're not my family. My parents keep telling me I'd feel differently or my own sisters. Then I told you he got drunk and sloppy on New Year's Eve while we were away. And that really affected me. That's when they were away with the Sullivan family, right? She says that to him. Then Karen dropped a bomb. She told Brian that John showed her the Ring camera of the video kissing him outside the house of the Patriots game. Yeah. She told Brian that John asked, Christ, are you guys hooking up? And Brian answered her, oh my God, great. I don't need the drama, dude. And yeah. Karen told him, it was fine. I know where the cameras are anyways, duh. So like, girlfriend set this up. Yes.
What a wackadoo.
So fast forward to the night, everyone was at Waterfall Bar and Grill. Brian and Karen had one last text. Remember, I told you, Brian was there. Brian sent a message that said, with like 20 M's. And another one that said, well, okay. I don't know what that means, but it means
something went down at the table.
Something.
That's what that means.
So when the bar closed and people headed to Brian Albert's house, Brian Higgins went too. He didn't stay for long because all they had was beer at the Albert's house. And apparently he's not a beer guy.
Oh, me neither.
You drink a beer here and there.
I do drink a beer here and there. I'm sure I've had one recently, but I mean, I would stay. I mean, fuck.
I mean, listen, maybe he's celiac.
If you get me late enough, there's not much I won't drink.
Yeah. Well, it's like my husband is has celiacs and he will still freaking drink a beer late at night. And I'm like, dude, don't do that. Like, you are going to be so sick. And he is, like, every freaking time. I don't know. Maybe the guy needs to, like, not drink beer.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're caught up on the drama. Let's catch up on this investigation, which tells a little different of a version of what happened that night based on, like, physical evidence. So after Karen left her parents' house and went back to her own home, she was talking on the phone with a friend when all of a sudden she saw a string of vehicles pulling up outside of her house, and a dozen police officers converged and slapped some handcuffs on her and took her to jail.
Yeah.
She was taken to the station where she was shown all the evidence available. And according to the police, they had found pieces of the broken taillight in the snow near John's body. That was consistent with her Lexus. And then when Karen was picked up, they also seized her SUV, where crime scene analysts found broken glass embedded into the rear bumper, a deep scratch and a dent on the right side rear tailgate, and two scratches plus some chip paint on the right side of the rear bumper. The police and prosecutor determined that Karen had been drunk, backed over John, making that three-point turn at Brian Albert's house that night. And she was arraigned and brought to court to hear her charges. And there was only one: manslaughter.
And you know, that always confuses me. It confuses the shit out of me. We've been through this like a couple of different times. It's like somehow you get out of a damn DUI if you manage to kill someone.
I know, dude. Seriously.
Like,
it's true. I mean, I guess it's worse. Obviously.
It's worse, but I think you should get both. I am not with drinking and driving.
No, no. So at some point, either at Karen's parents' house or once she got to her own home, Karen searched the internet for a lawyer, and she found David Yannetti. He's a prominent Boston defense attorney, and she retained him. She called him when she was arrested. So listen, it seems like she was looking for an attorney before she needed one. The judge ordered a $100,000 bail, which Karen posted, and she was out. And outside of the courtroom, David Yannetti told the gathering people and reporters that John O'Keefe's death had been an innocent accident. He went on to say that Karen had no criminal intent. She loved the man, and she is devastated. And here's where it starts to get bananas. David Yannetti claims that he received a call from a tipster at his office who left a fake name and his phone number. When David called the tipster back, the man, who had a gravelly voice, told him a wild tale. According to this tipster, which, by the way, fake name, you can like reverse that phone number, right? But according to the tipster, Karen was totally innocent. What happened to John had nothing to do with her. The man claimed that John had been beaten up by Brian Albert and his nephew. They broke John's nose, knocked him out, and when he didn't come to, a federal agent dumped his body on the front lawn. And Brian Higgins was the only federal agent at the party the night that John died. Yannetti hired a private detective to knock on doors in Canton and gather more information concerning this alleged beating and dumping. Most people shut their doors on the PI's face. I can imagine it was like the PI that we know.
Yeah.
But at least one corroborated the story by saying Brian Albert's nephew, Colin, had been at the house that night that John died. Karen then had flashback to a memory of Colin Albert with a bunch of teenage friends drunk in John's front yard one time in 2020. The home security system went off and John rushed outside to confront the teens. According to Karen, Colin told John to go fuck yourself, which sounds like Karen's words, by the way.
They do a lot of go fucking yourself.
I know. To which John answered, get the fuck out of here. The next morning, their bushes were strewn with Bud Light cans. This established bad blood between Colin Albert and John O'Keefe. According to Karen, Colin Albert was the only person John ever had beef with. So then the story of how John was injured, morphed. Karen had told her mother about the cuts and abrasions.
Okay. I got to stop you there.
Okay.
Because what I was thinking, as soon as you told me there's some tipster, is it's probably Karen's mommy, because she's telling her, oh, these kids, like, she's not being like a real nice person. These kids, you would like them more if they were your own.
But true. Yes.
I think that's mean. I think what a real good mommy person would be saying is, you either like get your shit together, girl, and love the shit out of those kids because they've been through enough, or bounce
or leave
so someone else can. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not your fault.
You're so right.
You're not a snowflake. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So then the story of how John was injured morphed. Karen had told her mom about these cuts and abrasions, and Karen's mom said, well, maybe a dog attacked John that caused those injuries. The Alberts did have a German Shepherd. Karen realized that this could give some reasonable doubt to the jury and decided that she needed bigger guns to help in her defense. So she hired none other than Ellen Jackson. Now, not the country singer.
The country singer. Okay.
This guy is a criminal defense attorney out of Los Angeles who represented two Hollywood notables named Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey.
Shit.
Yeah. And you know, that Harvey Weinstein shit is like,
it's like getting overturned and crap.
Yes. So, Alan
and
Jackson,
Kevin Spacey, if you haven't watched, that's another one for the list, people.
Oh my God.
The thing on that on Max, but he got out of it too.
Well, that's probably why she hired Ellen Jackson. So in an email she sent to Ellen, or Mr. Jackson, however you want to call him, she put
Miss Jackson if you're nasty.
Right. She put murder of a Boston cop in the subject line, hoping to entice Ellen, which of course it did. And now she has a superstar defense team on her side. The defense started building a, it wasn't me, it's a cover up. And dude, it's working.
Really?
Yes. They didn't rely solely on the Colin and Brian Albert being the ones to beat up and kill John. They were going after everyone that was at that party. They claim that the police have planted evidence and concocted a false timeline. And this, by the way, has torn Boston apart. The city and Canton literally are split down the middle. Half of the people think Karen is a ruthless killer, and the other half think that the cops are dirty and framing her. Literally at high school sporting games, people that were once friends are not friends anymore.
Really?
You can walk down the street and see people picketing all over the place. People are wearing like free Karen shirts. Like, shit is bananas.
Wow.
And it's happening right now. Like, as we speak, the trial is going on. There are protests from both sides. There's t-shirts also that say how long to die in the cold, which is a snub at Jennifer McCabe's Google search. Oh, it says like ho, you know, like,
yeah,
ho long, hose long. It's like, come on, like, that's kind of low. So anyways, for the next year from when she hired Ellen, the prosecutors and defense team have battled over this evidence. And finally, April 16th, 2024, the jury selection began. The trial started on April 29th, and it's going on 7 weeks now. At one point, the prosecution saw a 500-foot buffer zone around the courthouse of the protesters because there's so freaking many, and the court settled to a 200 feet. All the key players mentioned have testified to their memories of what happened. Technical experts, cops, forensic specialists have all given opinions. One of the biggest pieces of evidence the prosecution had was her blood alcohol level. So when Karen had been taken to the hospital under that Section 20 or Section 12, they did take her blood and it was a 0.09.
Over legally drunk here.
It's still over the legally drunk limit. It is there too. And they explained that based on the number of vodka sodas that Karen was knocking back at the bar and her blood alcohol level with the timing, that she would have been at the point where she was driving a 0.135 to a 0.292. That's
drunk.
Real drunk.
Real drunk.
She herself told Karen and Carrie that she couldn't remember what happened that night before. because she's hammered.
Yeah.
The defense had experts too, someone who knew all about timestamps on computers and Google searches, and they claim that that search was done at the hose long to die in the cold was done at 2:47 in the morning. Jennifer says, no way. I Googled what time my son's game was that next day at 2:47, but then she like didn't close the browser. So when she went like to, you know, like on those iPhones, you like come back up and it's still there.
Yeah.
She says that that next search was made at 6:30 on that same browser window. Both defense and prosecution have experts that claim one way or the other of this phone log, which it is a big piece of evidence if it's true that she did look that up at 2:47. But I don't think so. I think she looked it up at 6:30. Jennifer did testify under oath that she didn't search for it until 6:30, but the defense insists that this is all part of the cover-up. The defense's theory is that John was beaten up by Brian Albert and his nephew Colin while they were fighting, that Albert's German Shepherd attacked Brian, causing the scrapes and cuts, and then they dumped Brian's body outside, and then the entire police force backed the two law enforcement officers and decided to pin it on Karen. The prosecution answered the theory that with a steady line of people who testified under oath that they never saw John O'Keefe at Albert's house at all. Brian Higgins was put on the stand to talk about the flirty text messages and the kiss that him and Karen shared outside the house during the Patriots game. And when he asked if it was a friendly kiss, he was like, no, Karen did not kiss like a friend, and that he was really taken aback. The defense,
I'm not really a kisser. Like, I don't even like kiss people on the cheek. Are you a kisser? Like, I'll do it if somebody does it to me.
Yeah,
you know?
I never go in
but
for a
I never
kiss,
initiate
ever.
No. It. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have an uncle that's a kisser. Like, he's just like a real like lovey kissy
guy. And so then
guy.
You got to do it. Yeah,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
But other than that, no.
No, but I know I have friends that are, you know, like.
Yeah.
And foreign friends, right, are real kissy. Like, you get an Italian up in your
I'm just too house. Germophobic.
You got lots of kissing. Okay, so the defense brought up a steamy text message between Karen and Brian, and Brian's response was, you know, I'm not proud of these text messages. It is what it is. I'll take responsibility for them, he told the court. But John was a friend at the same time. If they were at the end of their relationship, they were at the end of their relationship. But I wasn't going to have somebody utilize me and weaponize me against somebody like that. It was just a weird experience. Then the defense team leaned on the next text message, and per the data dumps performed on everyone's cell phone, they saw that Karen and Brian texted less and less after January 23rd. Hollywood defense attorney Ellen Jackson asked Brian, she sort of ghosted you, didn't she? And Brian was like, I wouldn't agree with that. And then John asked again, that was frustrating and she stopped communicating, wasn't it? And Brian replied, not at all. So what I think they're trying to say here is that Brian Higgins is like so upset that Karen's not leaving John that they're going to kill him for Karen. I mean, I have to say.
It's a stretch. Okay, so there really is no arguing that she was drunk and intoxicated and has a history of being kind of like neurotic, right?
Right.
Why are so many people going out of their way to defend that? It's not like she is, you know, some child who couldn't have possibly been drunk and in no way committed this. I mean, there's lots of people that are on the hook for crimes they didn't commit, but she very well could have done this one. And she does need to get that damn DUI.
I know. When you just read the facts, right, of this case, it's hard for me to
think. Is it just because she's pretty?
I think it's partly because she's pretty.
Yeah.
I think it's partly because she's pretty and there's this thing where we want to be against the police.
I was going to ask, what's, you know, I wonder what the history is in
Dude, there's
Boston.
Got, I know. So I'm going to talk to the Gold Shield guys about this.
Yeah.
So I'm going on their podcast tomorrow, like a live thing, which is going to be like in the past when this comes out. But I am going to bring it up because I want to know also, there's got to be something where there was corruption or has been corruption. And this is the same thing we were just talking about on Patreon with OJ. Like, it feels very much the same. The city is divided. Everybody's kind of like, free Karen because the police are assholes. And here I'm like, listen, there has maybe been corruption. I don't disagree with that. I think there is corruption everywhere, right?
Right.
But this, I just don't think it is.
Karen not being held accountable for it is not going to right those wrongs, you know?
Right. So the kids took the stand too. They said there was a lot of fighting and arguing in the household. They said that, you know, he tried to kick Karen out. Karen refuses. Haley also said that on the morning that they found her uncle's body, Karen had called Jennifer McCabe. Haley could hear her say on the phone, maybe I did something, maybe a snowplow hit him. Why would she also just be like, maybe a snowplow hit him? Like, what do you, like, there is no way in my right mind, if my husband or boyfriend or anybody I knew, I dropped them off at a friend's house, would I think that a snowplow would have hit him?
I wouldn't, I would venture to say that even with someone missing, I wouldn't say the words, they're dead, until I had confirmation that they were dead.
Never. That is why people that have missing people do not say that, you know, and not like, okay, you get,
it's like,
so,
we have to find them. They're missing.
I mean, I think people need to really think. She gets so concerned. Like, okay, so we have a listener that is in the city and she believes that Karen's innocent.
Okay.
And she is like, you know, she was just so distraught because he would not like not come home because he has these two kids. And it's like, well, maybe he would. Maybe he would just not come home. Like, or maybe if he didn't, it's only 5 a.m. Like, he's at a friend's house. If you and I were out and we were at our friend's house and I was like, hey, I'm going to drop you because I'm tired, or vice versa, right? If I wasn't home at 5 a.m, you would probably think I passed out there.
Right.
It's a friend's house. Like, you probably wouldn't even call me until 6, you know, like normal time, and be like, where the hell are you?
Yeah.
I think it's odd that she woke up and went batshit crazy saying stuff like, I hit him, he got hit, where did he get hit? Like, she knew. My theory is that he maybe like got out of the car, he walked to the back of the car, maybe they argued and she kind of left in a huffy, but she backed up into him, not seeing him, because it was really dark there. Not like,
that's what I think happened.
Yeah. And when she got home and got,
she like, was drunk.
She was so drunk, right? That when she kind of got a little bit more sober, she probably was like, what the fuck? I think I hit him. Like that noise that I heard in my car could have been.
I think she knew she hit him in that moment and she just panicked and she was drunk. You just didn't make a good decision. When she should have just called 911 there and said, oh my God, there's been an accident.
Yeah, but the outcome's going to be the same or even better for her now. Because,
I mean, who knows? Maybe he would have lived.
He could have lived.
If he would have gotten medical attention.
Yes. Actually, I think he probably could have lived if he got medical attention, because it didn't sound like his injuries were that severe where they couldn't have saved him. So she definitely killed him by leaving the scene. Anyways, they are pulling. Okay, so listen, I got to tell you this too. They are pulling every officer in, and they also, oh my God, some of the investigation is so bad. I'm thinking that she might get off. There was one point in the investigation that police collected blood evidence with Solo cups. So that looks bad. I did ask an officer about that, and they're like, well, it's not really that bad. Like it, but it sounds bad, right? You're like, Solo cup, frat party. You don't think like this is collection.
I know. I have, you know, OJ on the brain, right? Because we're doing a OJ series on Patreon, but it's like, yeah. If you have a good enough lawyer, you know, in OJ's case, Johnny Cochran went after those that collected the evidence, you know. Dude, it was like, did you grab it this way? Are you sure? Could you not have? Like, a good enough attorney is going to be able to spin that Solo cup business.
Oh, and who cares about the fucking Solo cups? Who cares about the blood evidence? It doesn't matter. We know it's him.
Yeah.
We know that it's him. Yeah. So like, it doesn't matter, but the shit they're bringing up is so, you're getting like all crazy in your mind because you're like, oh my God, why are they using Solo cups to like get evidence? Yeah. That's so weird.
Distracting.
Right. So it's distracting and it's making you not want to believe the police, right? They also have just yesterday and today, they brought up a police officer at the trial that was investigating, and they pulled all of his cell phone records, and he makes some really bad decisions on his texts. He sends his wife a text saying, like, we're going to get this bitch. And he sends another officer, like, because he's going through Karen's phone. Okay. He sends another officer a message that said, no nudes yet. Listen, poor taste, right?
Yeah.
But I can also see how that happens. Like,
yeah, that's,
I'm sorry.
That is inappropriate and terrible. And that officer should be reprimanded for that shit. But that does not make that bitch innocent.
Totally. But it's human nature. Come on, you guys. Like, we can't be so, like, naive to just being human. But we're just bringing up shit that doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah.
And what he's saying is, like, you had it in your mind that it was her from the beginning. And it's like, well, because it is. 1 + 1 = 2, guys. It's not 1 + 1 = 15 people trying to cover up something. And why would they throw him? They kill him. And then they just are like, oh yeah, let me throw him on my front lawn. Like, no one would do that.
Yeah.
If they killed him, they're police officers. They would take care of the situation. Also, Karen has been out on bail since she was arrested. And one of our listeners, Noelle, sent me a picture of her brother's friend and Karen at a nice dinner establishment in the Boston area. She was questioning why she's going to fancy dinners. And I think that if I was Karen, I would also be going to as many fancy dinners as I could before my trial ended. But I can show you that picture, Gretchy, if you want. But she, you know, she's still, like, she hasn't been in jail. So she still looks really good. She's dressed well at...
Yeah, well, food in the clink is not that great. Eat while you can.
Yeah.
But I mean, she might be getting out and then you're blowing your money. It's going to be hard to get a job, Karen.
That's true, actually. Or not. She has so many supporters.
Oh,
like,
that's
so
true. I mean,
many
she's financy. She could do a lot online. She could work from home, probably.
I mean, she probably needs to move, but I am really, really interested how this is going to end, because I'm telling you, it is an OJ situation over there. Very much. Very, very much.
Well, let's follow.
Yes. So that's that. Also, if you'd notice, I got my hair did. Mm-hmm. And I know I keep telling you guys this, but listen, I want to show you. Everybody that's ordered. So if you're watching, come on YouTube and go to the, if you are not watching and you want to see. This is the Scandalous Scalp, and I got a lot of questions on how to put it on, okay? And I literally just, like, put it in the center, on the sides, and in the back of my hair. And then I scrub it into my hair, and my hair is dry right now. That's it, every day, and my hair is, like, past my boobies right now. It's amazing. Amazing, amazing.
Yeah. You get to the point where it's like, first of all, it doesn't make your hair oily or anything like that. Don't be thinking
that. No, and everybody asks me that.
And everybody asks that. But you get to the point where, to me, I mean, it's kind of gross, but, you know, I feel like when I get out of the shower, I need like a Q-tip in my ear. It's like right away. Now I need like the scalp serum in my head.
Me too.
After I get out of the shower, it's like, oh, I can't wait to like put it in there and your scalp just drinks it up.
So good too. It's like, I don't know, minty. And so it feels like a real good time in your head. So go to fivecrimes.com, fivecrimes.com. And sorry, this was a little bit longer of an episode, but you know, it's still going.
Yeah, it's still going.
I think it's solved, but you know.
Okay.
Anyways, that's it for today, Gretchy.
Okay.
All right. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.